Hello and welcome to our February Exceptional Speaker Virtual Meeting / Bonus Call, powered by Exceptional Connections. So today's call is doing double duty. For the first time in 9+ years, we canceled our February 12th ECN luncheon due to snow and icy road conditions. So we're really not wimpy in the Northwest here. In fact, SeaTac Airport broke snow records that were set 70 years ago. So let's all just settle in and grab a cup of your favorite warm beverage and away we go. I'm Cindy O'Neill Dady, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections Networking, as well as our quarterly educational series Skill Shops. Our exceptional speaker bonus calls highlight our monthly speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our ECN community and beyond. I am super excited to be highlighting one of our loyal and beloved ECN members, Tricia James Melvin. She is also a faithful and favorite, try to say that fast, faithful and favorite spotlight vendor, as well as an exceptional insight presenter who shared the gift of purpose with our community last year. Although you're not able to hear Tricia at our live meeting due to Mr. Snowman showing up, we are thankful that she is available to share her inspiring talk, The Power of Believing in Yourself, today in this live virtual meeting that will be recorded, by the way. So to set the expectation for this call, Tricia has generously agreed to share for the next 20 to 25 minutes. And we're then going to open the call up for Q&A, so be sure to write down your questions and save them till after Tricia's talk. So we'll plan to end by 1 p.m., so be sure to stay on the line until the end of the call, and we'll be sharing with our listeners ways to connect with Tricia, as well as exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. So Tricia James Melvin is a startup business mentor. She serves, educates, and mentors aspiring women entrepreneurs through her licensed brand, Pop Accessory. She believes in educating and motivating her business clients to believe in themselves and their capabilities, and that being the first step towards helping her clients create a successful business. Tricia James Melvin is the recipient of Nordstrom's All-Star Award. Way to go, Tricia. This is for significantly increasing sales for Nordstrom's luxury scarf business and for providing exceptional customer service. I love that. Again, in Tricia's talk this afternoon, she will be sharing the power of believing in herself, or yourself, all of us. The common thread among successful people is not about what they know or even who they know. It's about believing in ourselves. Believing in oneself is the beginning of life's journey, and it affects every moment of our waking days. It is my pleasure to turn this call over to the always fun, always inspiring, and amazing Tricia James Melvin. Take it away, Tricia.
Well, thank you, Cindy, for that great introduction. And thank you, everyone, for being here today on this call. And welcome to the power of believing in yourself. Let's begin. Growing up, I had no choice but to believe in myself. I had a father who was kind, loving, funny, but an alcoholic. I had a mother that was nurturing, loving, wise, but overwhelmed by the lack of finances and having to raise 5 kids in a 1-bedroom home. Being the youngest in my family with older brothers and sisters towering over me, I felt like a shadow in a very chaotic home. To add to my family's stressful situation, I was failing in school, and no one knew why, except maybe I was dumb. I was born dyslexic before modern medicine could diagnose my problem. I could not read till I was 11 years old. At 13, my life took an upward trajectory when I stumbled upon a book that sat on my uncle's coffee table called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. I highly recommend this book that opened the door to all of my possibilities and gave me permission to believe in myself when no one else would except God. It is because of this book and by the grace of God, I am who I am today, still on the journey of discovering my full potential. Believing in yourself is your duty, your obligation, and your responsibility. No one on this planet can walk your path towards discovering who you are or the potential that lies within you. Like many challenges in life, your first challenge is to believe in yourself. Learning to believe in yourself is often a private, lonely journey paved with naysayers, disappointments, fears, trials, and tribulations. No one escapes the rite of passage at the distinctive, fruitful process towards self-discovery. Believing in yourself holds the key to unlocking who you were meant to be and how you'll use who you are to serve others. Believing in yourself will champion your every heartfelt desire. So how do you begin to believe in yourself? And why is it important to do so? Let's explore a set of questions today that will help us learn about the five important character attributes that can help you discover the power of believing in yourself. Our first character attribute is how to choose yourself every time. What does this mean? Let's just think about this. Before you can help others, you must help yourself. Before you can give to others, you must give to yourself. And before you can respect others, you must respect yourself. Choosing yourself first is not about being selfish or self-centered. It can sometimes be a life or death situation. For example, when you're traveling on a plane, you are instructed by the flight attendant, in the event of an emergency, you'll have to place the oxygen mask on first before helping your child or others do so. This is indeed the perfect example of choosing yourself first. Choosing yourself first is also about conserving and using your energy wisely to give from your overflow to others and not from an empty cup. Choosing yourself first also means being mostly self-reliant. Sometimes in life, you've got to lift your boat out of troubled waters by yourself when there is no one around to give you that helping hand. This repeated act of choosing yourself every time is about creatively finding the solutions to your problems. When life throws you a curveball, you either hit it out of the ballpark or it hits you in the rear end. Either way, you learn something useful about yourself, and hopefully through experience and over time, it will help strengthen your emotional muscle and have resolve about believing in yourself. Let's take a moment here to connect with ourselves. Let's take a deep breath and say, I give myself permission to believe in me. Great. Let's do that one more time. I give myself permission to believe in me. Now let's continue to our second attribute. How to embrace the impossible. All things are impossible until it's done. Nelson Mandela. When you accomplish the impossible, you embrace your I am possible. When we are faced with what we perceive to be an impossibility, a fearful mindset is at the heart of all of our impossibilities. Fear can be a great friend or foe. If you use it wisely, fear can be a great teacher and an advocate in strengthening and awakening the power of believing in you. In order to embrace the impossible, discover your possibilities, we must understand our friend and foe, fear. Where does fear live? Stephen Covey, in his book, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People said, seek first to understand in order to be understood. To understand fear in you and how to use it wisely to accomplish your possibilities, we'll have to explore where fear begins and ends. Fear begins and ends as thoughts in your mind. You'll be surprised that the brain's only job or imperative in a human you breathe and your body alive. That's it. That's the brain's only job. It cares about nothing else but to keep you breathing in every moment. It stands guard over like a good watchdog over you. Prepare or life in any threatening situation. Fight or flight is the brain's number one driving force. Fear is the brain's companion and enforcer to get you to move towards something or away from something. Here's one example about the brain. When attempting to learn a new thing or to do something you've never done before, like jumping out of a plane, the brain goes into a state of emotional frenzy as to whether or not it needs to stay and face the situation or run away from the situation that it has never experienced before. The brain can give you 1,000 different reasons and excuses why you can't start that new project or why you can't jump out of a plane. The brain is like a helicopter mom hovering over her child. That it is not familiar with for the sole purpose of keeping you within its comfort zone. As you know, everything worthwhile happens outside of your comfort zone. My friends, you must learn how to handle your fear before you can fully engage in the power of believing in yourself. So how do we prepare or respond to fear that stands in our way of unleashing the power of believing in yourself? Well, preparation and visualization is the key to be successfully or overcoming fear in the brain. You must prepare your brain or mindset in advance for accomplishing your goals and desires without fear. You can do this by intently visualizing as though you're taking specific action necessary to accomplish your desired outcome in your mind's eye. Visualization is a great tool to trick the brain into supporting your intended actions when new in your life. Visualization helps the brain come to an agreement with your emotions on the changes you're about to make. When you visualize your goals and aspirations, you give the brain a point of reference about the changes you want to make that supports you in believing in yourself. So when you actually work towards changes in your life, you want to have your brain the brain thinks it has already experienced it and does not set up a fight or flight response when it has already experienced that pictorial picture while you're visualizing your future. Remember, the brain does not differentiate between what's real and what's not. The perfect example of this is being hypnotized. The brain is visual, and it is easily influenced by visualization. The brain responds to your thoughts and action in every moment, whether it's real or make-believe. The brain operates from the data or programming it's receiving from your thoughts. Thoughts are things. Turn your impossibilities into your I am possible through preparation and visualization. At this point, let's take a moment and pay attention to how you feel when you I am possible. Pay attention to how you feel by that statement, I am. A third character attribute towards creating the power of believing in yourself is about tenacity. Why is it important to have tenacity? The Webster Dictionary definition of tenacity is courage, spirit, resolution, strength to resist opposition, firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. I'd like to share with you how I found my tenacity on a bicycle. Yeah, a bicycle. At 13, I did not know how to ride a bicycle because I was fearful of falling and getting hurt. I watched all my friends in the neighborhood on their bicycles, and out of sheer desperation to be part of the bicycle gang, I just wanted some fun with my friends, so I made the decision to face my fear. I was going to ride my brother's oversized bicycle, and I was not going home until I learned how to ride that bicycle. I got on that bike, and I attempted to ride it to fall hard and repeatedly on the pavement. Falling down the first time from my brother's bicycle made me feel the full intensity of my fear of falling. I got up each time I fell, and each time I felt the fear of falling get more. Bye, George. I rode that bicycle into the bruised, bloody, but with a big smile of confidence on my face. That was the day I chose myself, achieved what I thought was impossible, and found my tenacity. I had aligned the first three character attributes of the power of believing in yourself. I had taken the responsibility to teach myself how to ride a bicycle despite experiencing tremendous pain from falling over and over and over again. No one gets to win the rewards in life without paying a price. Winning through adversity is another incredible friend, but a topic for another day. Tenacity is an important trait to develop personally and professionally. Having tenacity gives you the staying power, the permission to never give up. Having the spirit of tenacity helps you put one foot in front of the other until you reach your destination. To have tenacity is to often be stubborn towards your goals. Having a mission to accomplish in the world requires a great amount of tenacity, the I can do spirit. Let's take this moment and say this to yourself. I am tenacious. I will never give up on things that matters to me. Pay attention to your feelings as you say this. If this statement is believable to you, great. If not, keep repeating the statement daily to yourself until it feels true to you. I am tenacious. I will never give up on things that matters to me. Now, that brings us to our fourth character attribute. How to trust your inner wisdom. Trusting your inner wisdom is an important area to cultivate. It can assist you in the power of believing in yourself. We all are born with an inner wisdom. When you align yourself with your inner wisdom, you'll discover your authentic self, your personal power. How many of you have gotten into trouble by not listening to your inner wisdom? I have. I've often asked myself when I fail at something, why didn't I listen to my instinct, my intuition, my gut feeling, that still small voice in me that said, yes, do it, or no, don't? What is the one thing that stands in our way from listening and trusting our inner wisdom? The ego. The ego is our inner critic. It goes against everything our inner wisdom gently nudges us to do. As human beings, we are faced with our psychological dualities, the capacity to do good or evil, give life or take it, to choose to win or choose not to take action. having emotional resolution about listening to your still small voice from your inner wisdom when making an important decision can help save you time, give you a sense of peace and certainty, as compared to making an important decision through your ego that usually involves procrastination, drama, and blame. Accomplishing anything through your ego sets you up for a hard fall and prevents you from actually accomplishing what you want long term. For example, if your inner voice prompts you to write a book, your inner critic would say, "No, you can't write that book. You don't have a PhD in English. You'll fail and feel bad when no one buys your book." The ego is our worst enemy. Before I list the ways of how you can connect with your inner wisdom, a necessary character attribute in believing in yourself, let's take a moment to see what living through your ego might look like. Here are five most popular behavioral characteristics of our ego to avoid. One, when you live through your ego, you'll feel elevated when gossiping about other people's flaws. Or when you live through your ego, it's important for you to be right in an argument than to be happy. You consistently compare yourself with others that you consider smarter than you, more beautiful than you, or wealthier than you. When you live through your ego, you may feel jealous when other people do well. And finally, when you live through your ego, you talk about yourself for 10 minutes before asking the other person that you're having a conversation with how they're doing. The list goes on. You can only change what you understand. So I encourage you to research the characteristics of the ego in order to tame it, since we cannot eliminate the ego. The ego is part and parcel of our human psyche. So how can we tame them? Here are some action steps you can take. In order to build trust in it. Write. Start by writing in your journal. Visions. Writing helps you chip away at your inner critic, so bring it to the surface. Two, experiment. And experiencing your inner wisdom promptings with its still trust time. Another prompting of your inner wisdom that you can experiment is that feeling you get about something. It can be positive or negative, but it's a strong feeling in your gut that either tells you to put something into action or not. It's more a feeling of intuitiveness. Having a gut feeling about something can be certainty that you're being called to make a decision for your highest good. And thirdly, find activities that support your inner wisdom and raises the volume of its still small voice. Meditation, breath work, slow movement workout like Tai Chi, or praying is a wonderful way to check in on your inner wisdom when making decisions. Fourth, do something that scares you every day, Eleanor Roosevelt. The ego tries to keep us small-minded and go after small things that are achievable, so we have bragging rights. Our inner wisdom prompts us to rise above our expectations and often requires us to take action beyond what we think we are capable of. So get up every morning and do the one thing that scares you first. It can lead to tremendous breakthroughs and help you connect with inner wisdom to claim your personal power and the power in believing in yourself. And lastly, connecting with your authentic self. Trusting and listening to your authentic self, your inner wisdom, can help you connect to that truthful side of us that is ego eliminated. So your inner wisdom connects the dots. You hear this point always leads to another. Things that you experience the decisions you make directly or indirectly in every situation. You alone are responsible in trusting or distrusting your inner wisdom. Either way, there's always a lesson to be learned. Let us take a few moments now to affirm. And the still small voice. Fifth and in power of believing in yourself wholeheartedly. How do we commit in life to either interested or committed? The fact that you're here today, if you live life, give yourself a question, talk yourself that can possibly move. However, if you're committed, choosing yourself first, overcoming the impossible, never giving up with tenacious resolve, and committing yourself to turn inwardly to listen to the promptings of your inner wisdom, all requires your courage of commitment. Your goals, your visions, your dreams, your aspiration towards the kind of life you want to live require commitment. Finally, and most important, make the commitment to never betray the promises you make to yourself. I'm Tricia James Melvin. With gratitude, the only difference between success and failure is the capacity to have certainty when it comes to believing in yourself and your potential. Thank you, everyone, for your presence here today on this conference call, and thank you, Cindy, for the opportunity to present. I'm ready for Q&A.
All right. Wow, Tricia, thank you so much for generously sharing your brilliance with our community today. You are a deep thinker, my dear, and I just really love and appreciated you sharing, you know, your journey, your wisdom, and the things that you've collected on the way that have helped you to have the mindset to get through, you know, different tough things that you've had to go through in your life. So first of all, I just wanted to thank you for, you know, for just being so vulnerable and sharing with us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. And, you know, I grow and I hope that the people that I share some of my, you know, what I've gone through in life, I hope to help them too that way. Because the best way of helping people is to be real and to tell your story, right?
You got it. That's exactly right. So we're at the portion in our call now where we're going to open it up for questions. So anybody that has a question, go ahead and shout it out. I've unmuted everybody. And there were some portions of your talk, Tricia, that it cut out. I don't know if anybody else was able to pick that up, but I think we were able to get the gist of it, most of it. So I think it's weather related, but I just wanted to put that out there in case anybody wondered if it was their phone. I heard it too. So anybody have any takeaways or questions or insights or ahas that they occurred to them as a result of Tricia's generous sharing?
I do. I'm Teresa. I'm in Connecticut.
Hi,
and
Teresa.
I thought maybe... Hello there. I thought maybe it was my phone because I was so far away, and I'm sorry to have missed some of the words, but some of the things that really stuck with me, and I'm almost embarrassed to say, but it is something that I'm working on, all of those ego points. It was like you were talking right to me. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for sharing and being so honest. I love it.
What have I got to lose? I'm amongst friends.
You are.
Oh, Yeah, thank you for that. I'm really working on it. So I've been, you know, I've got Eckhart Tolle's latest book, and it's all about changing that ego. And I guess that's, you know, a good place to start. But is there anything else that you recommend to help me to get out of that ego state?
I the one thing, I don't know if you cut out at visualization, but absolutely, I highly recommend visualization and seeing yourself as the person you want to be. You know, visualizing that person that you want to be. And that's number one. Visualization for me in my own life has really helped so much of the peeling away of that onion. But it was a door. Visualization was that door that I opened and stepped into the life that I want, the life that I'm living now. And I still, after 40 years, I discovered, you know, that book, Psychocybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. I highly recommend that you read that. It talks also about the ego. And there are many exercises in there that will help you with kind of calming down that ego, you know, because we can't get rid of it.
Bad enough. I went to just do the cover sheet because it wasn't in here, and now it's doing it all over again. I went in there and I'm deleting the print.
Oh, I think we've got somebody's talking.
Yeah,
here.
You might have to mute
them. Okay.
And,
sorry, I didn't know if that was a question
on.
There.
Oh, sorry,
okay.
Teresa. So yes, okay. So to answer your question,
could you say that author again, because it broke up just a little bit?
Oh, it's Psychocybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. If you just Google Maxwell Maltz, M-A-L-T-Z, that book will come up. I've had that book. It still sits by my bedside for over 40 years. It's tattered and torn, but it was really my gateway out of the situation that I was in growing up. It gave me a whole different reality that I didn't know exists. I mean, my reality growing up was all about suffering, you know,
yeah.
And to be without. And Maxwell Maltz in his book Psychocybernetics gave me a whole new way, like, wow, there's this other way of living, you know. So highly recommend that.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that, Tricia. And, you know, I was just chewing on what you just said about visualization is the door to live the life you love. And, you know, it also, you know, from a, you know, the biblical perspective, you know, God says, without a vision, my people will perish. So we need to have that vision for our life, whether it's a goal or be able to, you know, you hear about Olympic athletes, they visualize, you know, whether it's a ski run or, you know, swimming or whatever they're doing, they visualize themselves doing it. So I think there's really something powerful there that we forget about. We just have to do it.
You know, visualization is a tool, and it sharpens your skills of, you know, your everyday life and what you face. We're kind of a co-creator, because God, you know, on a spiritual level, God doesn't impose his will on you, right? So whatever your decisions are, he kind of allows you to experience it, because that's the way, I mean, when a child falls, every time if you try to rush and pick it up, it will expect that, right? But God sometimes allow us to fall and pick ourselves up. So visualization is a tremendous tool. I still do it after all these years. And definitely, if you're not doing it, I highly recommend to include that in your daily ritual when you get up and have a cup of coffee. Or actually, before you roll out of bed, I usually would do some visualization of how I want my day to go, you know? So.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, anybody else? So I have opened the line, so be careful of ambient noise. You can mute yourself if you're not in a place that's quiet. But any other insights, ahas, questions? Well, we've got, this is a great topic, you guys, the power of believing in yourself. I mean, it starts there.
Or if anybody
there.
Else has any things that they do as a ritual during the day to, you know, to help them more and more believe in their capabilities, maybe you can share it here too so we can all learn from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. This call is a forum for that. So thanks for mentioning that, Tricia. So anybody else have any thoughts or ahas or ideas or things that they've done?
Well, I got a different topic. This is Chuck.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Chuck.
How do you come to actually trust your intuition?
Good one.
That is a good question. You know, again, that word intuition, it is a feeling, right? It's more of a feeling than it is an emotion. I don't know how to articulate that, but I'm sure that every one of us, we've been in a situation where we have that feeling, like in our gut, right, about whether we should proceed or we don't. And in my own experience, when I kind of, you know, put that aside and go through my ego and say, no, I know how to do this. I'm not going to, you know, this is just a feeling and kind of put it away, I get into trouble. So it's taken me, I mean, it's so funny. God must be laughing at me because it's taken me so long. I mean, probably over 40 years to come to this point at 56 years old to finally realize, actually in the last 12 months, to really listen to that intuition, that inner voice, that feeling, that gut feeling. And you know what, Charles? Since I've been doing that, things are just blossoming, you know? And I say to myself, why didn't I do this earlier? I would have been so much further ahead, you know? But it's just me. I'm pretty stubborn. And, you know, I would love to encourage everybody to how important it is to really tune in to that intuition. It is a feeling that it's beyond just normal day, everyday emotion type of thing. This is like a certainty, a feeling of certainty. I would say, Charles, a feeling of certainty.
Well, Chuck, this is Gail from Virginia. So I can relate to that intuition because all my life I've always heard go with your gut. And, you know, every time I do, it's the right thing, that, you know, afterwards. It's the right thing that I've done. And if you don't go with your gut, your mind just goes absolutely crazy. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's not the right thing to do. After you've done it, you wish you hadn't because you should have gone with your gut. So I think it's great what this call is about. I just, you know, I can really relate to a lot of it. Cindy will laugh, but I can relate to the bicycle because talk about tenacity. I spent a very long time learning how to ride the bike myself. I was just more determined than anything in life at, you know, 12 years old. This was what I was going to accomplish in life, is learn how to ride that bike. And I did, and from that, you know, you learn that what you just said, if you can stick with it for a long time, that you certainly can accomplish anything that's in your heart and your passion. So thank you very much for all of that.
I love that. I want to chime in too on that one. It's really, I found, you know, you have to test your gut in order to trust your gut. And so for me, that's how I kind of am still working that out. But, you know times where, you know, in hindsight, it's 2020, you know in hindsight that, okay, that was the right thing to do. My gut was talking to me and I was listening and it felt good and look at the outcome. So my mind goes back to those times to reproduce that, like you say, that feeling. Because if it doesn't have those similar traits, then I know it's not my gut. And if it's, like Gail said, if it's something that I worry about or I'm fearful about or I come from my head, it's usually not my gut. It usually is overriding my gut, and I have to really talk to my drunk monkey and tell it to take it easy. Tell it to go take a bath, you know.
Yeah.
Settle down.
When you're fearful about anything, it really is coming from the ego. You know, inner wisdom, when you connect with it, there is no fear. There's certainty, a sense of certainty and a sense of peace. So when you feel that, you know that it's coming from the right place. But ego is, you know, I call the ego the antichrist, you know. It's the opposite of good for you. So paying attention to that and really testing, like I said in the number two of trusting your inner wisdom, is experimenting with that still small voice, meaning obeying it. Give it a chance, you know. If you feel it and it's giving you peace and you have a sense of certainty, go ahead and do it. You know, what do you have to lose, right? Because the opposite is ego. And you know, anything that you build, I mean, you can build a business or anything in life on ego, but it never lasts. You're building stuff on just soft sand. There is no real foundation. And this is why it's so important to look at the difference between ego and inner wisdom, or ego and your inner voice. Because we all have it. We just have to use some of these techniques in meditation, breath work, visualization, to listen to bring up or to kind of turn on like a radio, turning up the volume of your inner wisdom. The more you follow its promptings, the louder it's going to get. And then all of a sudden, you're starting to live your life through your inner wisdom rather than through your ego.
I love it. You know, this is really a fascinating conversation. I love it because the reality is we all have ego, and that's just part of who we are as humans. And the way I've always thought of ego, you know, because we all have our, like you shared what your perception is. We all have our kind of perception of that drunk monkey, that whatever. But the reality is it's a mechanism within us that keeps us alive. That's its job,
to
keep us safe. Mm-hmm. The ego is not there to make us successful or make us look, you know, to make us, I shouldn't say look good, but to make us successful or happy. It's really there to keep us safe. And it would be very happy if we were just in a little box and did nothing. So, I mean, for me, realizing that and calling, you know, my ego, I call the drunk monkey from Matthew Ferry and those teachings, I have more compassion for myself. So it's not something I need to battle, but it's something I just need to have compassion and say, oh, your job is to keep me safe. And so I actually personally talk to my drunk monkey and just say, it's okay, I got this, you know, go to sleep in the back seat. So anyway, it's fun to be able to share, you know, because these are things that really we are our worst enemy in many senses. I mean, I could say that about myself. I am my worst critic and harder on myself than anybody. And, you know, so I think believing ourselves, trusting in ourselves is so important.
Yes, and, you know, that brings to, and we're all in business. I mean, most of us are perhaps on this call, but even just through life, I mean, when we're struggling, I think that ego calls us to work hard, not eat on time, you know, not take care of ourselves, just do, you know. But, and that's not sustainable, you know, living your life through ego. However, it, like you said, it is a necessary evil in us. We were born with it. But that's perhaps one of the greatest challenges to, is to find ways to quiet the ego down and live more through spirit, live more through the promptings. And that is really, I feel, the biggest challenge in our lives. It will, you know, once you live more through that still small voice, and your inner wisdom. Fear also kind of quiet down in your life, so you're not fearful of taking on new challenges, you know. So as much as we think that we're here to, you know, work, have family, you know, just go through the motions of life, I think our greatest journey in life is to kind of live through spirit, live through, because that's where peace is. That's where everybody wants peace. Everybody wants love. Everybody wants to really feel the full power of joy. But that's not possible most of the time when we have this duality. You know, it's like Jekyll and Hyde, right? So we need to choose. And when you do choose, you have to do the work. And the work is some of those points that I made earlier on, you know, to go out and do your activities, your breath work or exercising, you know, taking Tai Chi. Tai Chi is wonderful. Yoga, meditation. Those are some of the principles of action that really connect with inner wisdom. But, you know, not eating, driving yourself nuts in the gym just to look good, all of that comes from that ego that just drives us nuts. So that's how I see it.
Right. No, I love that. And I'm thinking about intuition here as we, you know, Chuck brought that up. How do you know how to trust yourself? Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing intuition as it's a muscle. We have to exercise that muscle. We have to try it out, right? You know, just really pay attention to, like you say, that prompting, that still small voice. And I mean, that word prompting is something that's been a part of my journey in building my business and, you know, over the years, is really being able to hone that, you know, to think about somebody and then act on that prompting. And how many times have we done that when we call somebody or write somebody or text somebody, and in some cases they're texting us at that same moment. And I just love when those serendipities happen, but it really is being able to tap into your intuition and build that muscle.
Right, and we're all connected that way. You know, when you're thinking about somebody and you run into them, that's like, you know, just that one moment of magic, you know?
I love that.
That synchronicity. But, you know, coming back to believing in ourselves, it's a choice. You know, I was faced with that choice many, many times in my life growing up. You know, I could either, you know, listen to the naysayers, people that didn't believe in me, or believe that I would amount to anything, or the other choice was, despite everything else, I'm going to believe in myself. Even if I fell 10,000 times, I'm still going to get up. That's the tenacity. And I'm still good. It's a choice. You just have to, one day, if you don't feel that strong sense of believing in yourself, in your capabilities, and your potential, you just have to decide, you know what, no matter what happens, no matter what anybody says, I'm going to believe that I can accomplish the things that my heart desires for me. It's a choice. Either you believe in yourself or you don't.
Yeah.
Believe in myself, because I have no idea where I'd probably end up in a mental institution if I didn't believe in myself, because of all the other negative forces that we are surrounded with in the world or within our family units. Despite everything else, we are called to rise, you know. That's why inner wisdom calls us to rise above all things and to trust in its prompting.
Love it. That's great. Thank you, Tricia. Last call for any questions or ahas or insights that they want to share or ask Tricia or just have a conversation about. Great opportunity here.
Hi, this is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
How's it going?
Good.
Cool. Hey, just brought something up. I listening to your story. Mine's not anywhere near yours, but I'm the oldest of six kids, and my mom passed away at 41.
Wow.
And so I ended up basically raising my brothers and my sisters. And I think a lot of that, your intuition, I mean, I didn't really know what to do at 16, but I just trusted my gut, I guess. And, you know, just sort of put one foot in front of the other and kind of trial and error to, you know, to make things happen for my family and for myself. And I guess in a lot of ways it must have worked out because all of my brothers and sisters are married. They all have kids and, you know, they're all happy and doing well. And, you know, personally at 16, I never thought I'd live to be 75. But, you know, you do. You have to trust in yourself. And choosing yourself first every time, having grown up that way, is really something that I have to fight all the time. Because, again, being a mother and that, it's like, oh, no, I've got to help my daughter. I've got to do this for my grandkids. Or I got to, you know. And it's a hard thing to say no and pick yourself first.
Right. And you feel like uncomfortable with that, right, Judy? Like when you don't feel like going somewhere or doing something and someone is asking you to help them, but for whatever reason you just don't feel like it and you do it anyways, that's when you don't come away from it feeling, you know, happy or good. Because in a way it's a tiny betrayal putting ourselves first and kind of acknowledging that feeling inside that I really don't want to do this. So you shouldn't, you know, you should. And that's where the authentic self comes in. It's like being authentic and saying, I would love to help you, but I can't because, you know, you can give them a reason or you don't have to. Just say, I would like to, but I can't today.
Yep. Well, that's so true. I mean, it's just even like a little simple thing like my grandson who goes to high school like 20 minutes away from me, he'll call or something and say, well, Baba, would you bring me teriyaki chicken for lunch? And there for a long time, I'd say, yeah. So I'd jump in the car and I'd go get the chicken teriyaki and then I'd drive another 20 minutes home. And it just got to the point where I said, you know what? No. You know, you have a mother, you have a father, and, you know, no, I'm not going to do it. It's a waste of my time. So I think they were kind of shocked when I actually heard them.
But you were being authentic, and sometimes pleasant to others.
Yeah. That is so true. So true.
But your sharing, Judy, just underlies that we have to continually choose. So I just want to acknowledge, you know, your 16-year-old self, you chose to just stand strong and to make the most of a very difficult situation and look at the beautiful, you know, result of the families that you've blessed as a result. But the reality is, I don't know, just like washing your hair or whatever. We have to keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
We have to keep believing in ourselves, and it's not like one and done, you know. We just have to keep doing it. So this conversation is a good one because sometimes there are some things in life you do it, and, you know, it stands the test of time, but there are other things we have to continually build on and do and, you know, choose, like you said, Tricia. So, wow, what a great talk, guys. So thank you for those of you who are on the call. And we weren't able to meet for our normal meeting, but, you know, what a great opportunity to be able to still hear your voices and hear Tricia's talk and, you know, just share her brilliance. So thank you so much for being vulnerable with us, Tricia, on this call. So as we wrap up here, I just want to give you an opportunity to share with our listeners, first of all, what's up with you next? So some of our community know, but tell us, like, what your plans are in the next couple of months and near future. And then also, can you tell us how our listeners can keep in touch with you or work with you if they want to have a further conversation?
Well, let's start first. In the summer of this year, my family and I will be moving to Austin, Texas, if all goes well. But I will come through Washington State from time to time because we do. And in terms of my future, I will be doing what I'm doing currently with my business in Austin, too. But I will be meeting some of my mentees here to carry on their work and their business in the accessory industry. And for the future, I have quite a few plans ahead of me, and that requires me to definitely believe in myself and my capabilities of accomplishing it. You know, believing yourself, you'll do it for the rest of your life. You know, it's not something you do and forget about.
Right.
And if anyone would like to continue this conversation, or if there's any way that I can help you maybe clarify some of the things that you're running up against, more than happy to have a conversation with you, and you can contact me via email and or contact Cindy to get my email, or you can contact me at my phone number. It'll be 73218. If you happen to think about our conversations today and what you heard, and something comes up, or you have an aha moment, or you need a communication, feel free to call me and have a chat. I'll be happy to do that for you.
Patricia, you cut out during your phone number. Can you restate that for us, please?
Sure. It's 425-273-5218.
Okay. Do you want to provide your email as well?
Sure. It would be, the easiest one would be T for Tom, James, so it's T James, dash. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, just send it to sales. Sorry. I'm just like, my mind is just going nuts here.
That's okay.
It's actually just send it to at pop, P-O-P, up, accessory.com.
That cut off for me. So I'll have to get that to anybody who's interested in connecting with Tricia. Reach out to me via Facebook or whatever means. You know, you have my email address as well. So thank you so much, Tricia, for sharing really your part of your life and your journey, being so vulnerable with us and the opportunity to have this conversation. And just have a moment more to just mention that our upcoming meeting is on March 12th, and we have Melina Palmer will be our spotlight speaker. She will be talking about the truth about pricing, and she tells us it's not about the cookies. So you'll have to come and listen. Melina's brilliant, and she'll be offering our third quarter skill shop in May. But we do have our second quarter skill shop coming up. Brittany was our January speaker, and she's going to be offering our second quarter skill shop on March 26th. And she's going to be talking about time blocking to time freedom, 2-hour skill shop. So if you go to exceptionalconnectionsnetworking.com and you click on events and then the educational series skill shops, you can click on the radio button for the March skill shop and get yourself registered. I would recommend you do so. Grab your seat before February 15th if you want the 127 early bird rate. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for Tricia. Any parting words, Tricia, before we close?
Thank you for everything. Thank you for the opportunity to present today. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye, guys.